Today is Palm Sunday, and today we celebrate this day to remind ourselves about the amazing yet difficult journey that Jesus made towards Calvary. There was great anticipation that built from not only his impending death, but also the celebration of his resurrection. Come on, next Sunday, let's talk about Easter too. Amen? How many of you are excited, by the way, for Easter? And I always get excited this time of the year. People are like, you should be excited about the resurrection all year long. You are totally right. Can we be in a heated agreement? Easter is just a great way to remind everybody that we should be excited about the resurrection. Amen? All the time. So we come here today to celebrate Jesus. And I just want to encourage you, if you've not been at Life Church before, we're a little crazy about Jesus, and we're unapologetically crazy about Jesus. Some people like really love Life Church, and they want to be a part of that kind of culture. If you're not like that kind of person, we still absolutely love you and accept you just the same here at Life Church, but we pray that you continue to get a little more excited about Jesus. Amen? And so we want you to find a lot of love and hope in this church, and we pray that God is here and present by his Holy Spirit to help you. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus yet, we're wanting you to meet Jesus today. Amen? If you have known God and you have gone far from God and you find yourself here today, oddly enough, going, man, something is stirring in my heart, we just want you to know, come back home. Jesus absolutely loves you. You're in the right place. And he wants to pursue you today. Amen? I hope you encounter him. And if you're a believer and you're just like, man, I'm excited about today, then you know what? Let Jesus do a deeper work in you to reflect him. I want to just straight away get into the story of Palm Sunday. Last Sunday I talked quite a bit from the scriptures, but also shared a lot about our story. And today I'm not going to share so much about myself or our story as it relates to in context of scriptures. I really want to jump into the story about Jesus because that's the one we're worshiping, amen? Not a pastor, a preacher, a worship leader, not any person here except the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. For the glory of the Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit. We look at Matthew chapter 21 this morning as it refers to Jesus in this Palm Sunday story. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and as the story lets us know, that he sends his disciples into a small village called Bethage to get him a donkey. And it's kind of funny because it's fulfilling a prophecy from the book of Zechariah 9:9 about a king coming into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. Now, I don't have time to get into the history of that because for us, I don't know if I saw a president riding into town on a donkey would be really something to celebrate, except I know the media would be laughing about it. Isn't that true? And so, but in the history of Israel, the history of that time, that was something that kings would do. It was a point of privilege. It was a point of recognition and a point of just celebration. So without hanging out there, I just want to get into Matthew 21:5, where we see Matthew talking about the prophetic word from Zechariah. It says, tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. I want you to say king with me. All right, let's do that one more time. All right. So it says, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt. Matthew 21:7 picks up and it says, they brought the donkey and the colt to him and threw their garments over the colt and sat on it. Most of the crowd spread the garments on the road ahead of him, and others cut branches from the trees, where we get the whole idea of Palm Sunday, and spread them on the road. Jesus was at the center. Okay, what did we just say last time together? King, right? Now I want you to say this, center. All right. King at the center of this procession. It says, of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, praise God, Praise God for the Son of David. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in highest heaven. You know, I want us to get our praise on this morning. I know you've been worshiping God. By the way, great job, worship team. And great job, worship team. Amen. You didn't know you were part of the worship team. There's two, actually. There's the one that's on the stage and the ones down here that are going, thank God for the ones that are on the stage, but I can still sing and praise God that I hear something that's in tune. Somebody say amen. That's like me. Unless you're like my brother-in-law, I just want to welcome Pastor Jason Crayveld and his lovely wife who's got beautiful jeans. That's my sister. And her wonderful mother, who's my mama, and we just want to welcome you guys from Orcas. They're planting a church up on Orcas, and we're just praying that God blesses your ministry up there. Amen? Amen. The name of the church is Encounter Church. Amen? How many of you think they're wanting Jesus to show up by the power of the Holy Spirit? Amen? And so I want us to get a little crazy, and Jason, you can help me. Well, I want us to get a little crazy, and I want us to have a little praise rise up inside of us. This is a Palm Sunday message, and I thought, why don't we just break out of the mold a little bit, and let's get some praise on. Imagine Jesus physically riding in here today, and I want you to get on your best praise, and I want you to repeat with me this line. You guys ready? All right. Praise God for the Son of David. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in the highest heaven. Hey, that was good practice. That's good practice. But we can have fun in church. You know, you get crazy in every other quarter, but sometimes people like, you know, the craziest people like at games and concerts and everything, and they come to church and they're like, oh, no, people got loud in church. What are we going to do? I want us to do this one more time, but just take it up a notch. Amen. Praise God for the Son of David. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in the highest heaven. Amen. That's what they were doing. And the entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar. If I could just break that down for you today, I'll tell you, they were crazy pants, okay? And he entered, who is this, they asked. Turn to the person next to you and say, who is this? They asked, who is this? And the crowds replied, it's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Hello? So I want to make some observations this morning. And I pray that the balance of the service that God begins to stir something in you to answer the question, who is this? You know, I've been preaching for a long time, and every time I come to the scriptures, the younger boy in me always wants to go, I need to have something fresh and new. And the older, wiser version of me says, the Bible has not changed. It's still inspired. Just preach the word. Amen? So that's what I'm going to do. I'm gonna take the wisdom to just take the word, and let's just preach and let God inspire you to be more like him. Amen? Here's some observations. There's a prophetic declaration. We talked about it. Matthew quotes Zechariah, and he's like, you think about this. He's writing about a prophecy about Jesus the Messiah 500 years before this time. So imagine the level of anticipation that's going around. Here's the moment. How many know that sometimes we can actually be so excited about this thing that God spoke in our lives? There's this excitement that's building in us. How many of you ever noticed that sometimes people can miss what God sends? And I don't want us to miss what God is sending. And I know that when we read this story, I kind of think they missed what they had been actually expecting. Says, look, your king is coming to you. Jesus was at the center of these crowds, and there was a lot of praise going on. I just want to ask you a question. Who's been at the center of our praise today? I hope you say Jesus. Amen. I don't know who you're worshiping then if it's not Jesus. And it wasn't any kind of praise. This is like some crazy NFL fan shouting praises. Okay, do you see that? Faces painted. That didn't happen, actually happen. I'm just, you know what I'm talking about. Like, I go to the games, and I'm like, I'm a fan, and then there's, like, real fans. You know, like, Seahawks fans, they're 12. I'm, like, 11. You know, I mean, they're, like, and there's, like, 13. You know, the guy that has paint over his entire body, you know? And so we're not talking about any kind of praise. They shouted his praises, and they threw their garments down before him, and they worshiped him, placing Jesus at the center, and they gave their Palm Sunday best. Now, fast forward. This is really interesting, because you fast forward less than a week later, and Jesus is arrested and brought before the governor, from king to criminal and just a few. And so we open in Matthew chapter 27, and I want to read for you kind of this big word, juxtaposition. This is like this comparison, this crazy thing, like from here to here. It's like, what's going on? There was a transition of this kind of worship that just all of a sudden fell away. Matthew 27, verse 15, it says, "Now, it was the governor's custom each year during the Passover celebration to release one prisoner to the crowd, anyone they wanted. And this year, there was a notorious prisoner, a man named Barabbas. As the crowds gathered before Pilate's house that morning, he asked them, 'Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Messiah?'" Matthew 27, 21 picks up and says, "So the governor asked, 'Which of these do you want me to release to you?' The crowd shouted back, 'Barabbas!' Pilate responded, 'Then what should I do with Jesus, who is called Messiah?' They shouted back." Now, don't be saying that. You just said, "Hosanna." What did they say? "Crucify him." Now, isn't it interesting that it just, you know, I know that's not your heart. Thank you, Jesus. But the same people who are saying, "Hosanna, praise God," were the same ones who were saying, and they didn't say it once. They said it more than once. Isn't that true? They shouted back, "Crucify him." And then Pilate asked a really good question. Why? Why? Pilate demanded. What crime has he committed? And of course, if you read the whole entire text of 27, you know that Jesus didn't do anything wrong. He was innocent. He was innocent. And so the mob roared even louder. What? Wow. Now, I had you say it, not because I wanted you to agree with it, but I wanted you to say it because I wanted you to recognize that the same people who were shouting praises and worshiping Jesus were the same people who were saying, "Crucify him." Out of the same mouth, two completely different versions of their view of who Jesus was. During Palm Sunday, the people worshiped the king. Just listen to this for a second. During Palm Sunday, their Palm Sunday, the people worshiped the king they wanted. They were expecting a warring king. They were expecting him to overthrow the Roman occupiers. They were expecting him to become the conquering king and then Lord, in that order, right? The conquering king, and then we'll make you the Lord. When you live up to my expectations, Jesus, then I will make you the Lord of my life. And they shouted praises. They got their Christianity on. Amen? We got our praises on. And sometimes, and you know, I said I wouldn't talk a lot about myself, but I can find myself in this story. Because there's times where it's easy. I'm not the one who's saying, "Crucify Jesus." I praise God that that's not been my story. But I will tell you, if I'm being honest with myself, there are moments when I'm like, it's easy to praise God. Everything's going good. And then there's other moments where I'm like, where is God? But it's usually like, Jesus, show up. Amen. That's a good one. Like, Jesus, please show up. But if you keep saying that long enough, you start moving from a place of adoration and worship for the God who already deserves it to a place where you're going, I wonder if he deserves my praise. They worshiped the king they wanted. They shouted praises, "Son of David." out of all of Jesus's lineage, I find it interesting. Look at this. I took a snapshot of the book of Matthew as he opens up. This is the only gospel that writes from the beginning about the lineage of Jesus. Now, why would he choose? Of all these things, isn't it funny that they would choose to say the statement, Son of David? Now, we know that he was referred to the Son of David other times. But I think, oddly enough, it has a lot to do with because it's Son of David is actually King David. And King David, if you read the story about David's life, he was a warring, conquering king. They wanted a God that was a conquering king. They wanted a Jesus that was on their terms. Hosanna! Hosanna! And for a lot of us that are like, you know, in the English mindset, we're like, that's like praise God. But really, for the Jewish mindset, this was save us, King. We will call you King so long as you save us. We will make you Lord so long as you are conquering King. You know what the kind of king they got instead? He was betrayed, he was arrested, he was brutally beaten, and he came with the Roman crucifixion. You're like, but that's not the whole story, Pastor. They wanted to worship a king that was made in their image. A king made by their own terms. And the ultimate problem for Jesus wasn't, in fact, the government, it was the people. Pilate wasn't his issue. Even his wife was like, man, this guy's like, my dreams are being tormented by this guy. Like, that's why there was this interaction between even the governor and the people, because I could tell he didn't even want to deal with the consequence of crucifying Jesus. They didn't know who they were worshiping. That was the real problem, isn't it? They didn't understand who they were truly worship, and they didn't understand that there had to be a servant before king. Can I get an amen? I haven't asked you for a whole lot this morning. They didn't understand that there had to be a servant before king, a cross before a savior, a crucifixion, come on, for the shed blood. The Bible says where there is no shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. The Bible says that I read says that that Jesus' blood purchased the church. And I think sometimes we don't recognize that, you know, sometimes we need a strong foundation before we start beautifying the building. Amen? And some people are all about, hey, the exterior, it's got to look so great. And how many know that unless you're building a strong foundation, it doesn't matter how pretty it is. As they say, it doesn't matter how much lipstick you put on a pig, it's still a pig. Amen? I don't know why I said that, but let's just move on. And here's the other thing. I just want to say this, get a little excited. Easter hadn't happened yet. Come on, church. Some of you were like, but I'm struggling with the Jesus that I have made in my mind, but you have yet to see the power of God transform your situation and show up. Let God be God. Amen. Every time I try to do what God does, it always is messed up. How many of you are decidedly against trying to be God anymore and let Jesus be the Lord of your life? You're just better at this. Amen. Easter hadn't happened. They asked, who is this? This is a good question, but I think we forget. Who is this? When you don't really know King Jesus, your worship won't last. I'm smiling at you. You can smile right back at me. See, because that's just a fan. Well, we're kind of getting a lot of the L's in the bracket, so I kind of feel like stepping off the team. And I don't want to downplay the hurt of your life at all. If you were to hear my story and Rashawn's story, you would know it comes, it's had a lot of pain in it. But I've determined no matter how many L's I've had in seasons of my life, I'm still going to choose to be on the winning team. Jesus is my Lord. He's my captain. I'm choosing to follow him. I'm going where he's going. Amen. I don't want to give in and cave in to the enemy's plan of my life, adding leverage to the enemy where the enemy's like, hey, I want to mess with you a little bit. And then we're like, oh, man, the Lord is here. And then we start to actually blame the Lord for situations in our lives. How many know it's easy to do that? And then now we're kind of starting to slide back from God when God is saying, man, I had nothing to do with that. My heart is to open arms, hug you, love you, embrace you, change you, and inspire you out of this situation. Amen. And so we need to know Jesus. Let me say it this way. You need to know Jesus. See, they asked the question, who is this? You need to know Jesus. You need to know him. And I would like for us to let Acts illustrate the importance, the book of Acts, to help illustrate the importance of knowing who Jesus is. Can we do that? Let's just move forward into the book of Acts. This is Paul during his third missionary trip, and we see Paul in Ephesus. Rashawn, we've traveled in Ephesus, an incredible place. You know, in the history of Ephesus, one of the largest cities at its time in the world. And I want to share this story with you because it's very interesting. So God gave Paul, who gave Paul? The power to perform unusual miracles when handkerchiefs and aprons that were merely touched his skin were placed on sick people. They were healed of their diseases and evil spirits were expelled. How many know that's pretty crazy stuff right there? And a group of Jews was traveling from town to town, casting out evil spirits. They tried to use the name of the Lord Jesus in their incantation, saying, I command you, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, to come out. Seven sons of Sceva, a leading priest, were doing this. And then this is where it gets interesting. You guys ready for this? But one time when they tried it, the evil spirit replied, I know Jesus and I know Paul, but who are you? Then the man with the evil spirit leaped on them, overpowered, mind you, seven of them, and attacked them with such violence that they fled from the house naked and battered. Now, I want to ask, is there anyone here who will help me illustrate this morning? No takers? Actually, I don't want anyone to illustrate this. But I was thinking about this. The Apostle Paul worked powerful miracles, exercised demons, used Jesus' name, and Paul was gifted by God. Now, how many know that this is different than the seven sons of Sceva and their encounter? They tried using Jesus' name, but specifically this way. I command you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, to come out. You know what this tells me? They knew Paul, but they did not know Jesus. How many of you think it's important to know who Jesus is? Yeah. Without Jesus, you may be naked and afraid. The demons knew who Jesus was. They knew Paul. But they knew that if you didn't have a relationship with Jesus, they had you. You know what these guys had? I thought about titling my sermon today, Naked Faith. They had a faith. It just was wrong kind of faith. It wasn't in Jesus. It was in someone who was using. It's almost like that world of Ephesus had a lot of magicians, a lot of people, exorcists. There was a lot of spiritual activity. And so these Jewish people, they believe, were kind of like, hey, let's just try to take on this amalgamation. This is a big word, like syncretism. It's taking on different beliefs, and we'll just kind of mix it in the cauldron of world religion, and we'll just take a little bit of this and a little bit of that. You know what? Taking a little bit of this and a little bit of that causes this kind of story. And so I think that they had naked faith. Naked faith is faith with nothing to it. Let me say that again. Naked faith is faith. Naked faith is faith with nothing to it. When you use God without knowing him, praising him, but not really knowing him, the devil will take advantage of you. And I know that here at Life Church, we preach the Bible. I know that's foreign in some churches, and I'm not trying to put our church above any other church. There's other preachers in this city that are probably way better than me. All I know is I got Jesus, I'm passionate for him, and I'm trying to do my best to preach the word of God to you. But I will not apologize for preaching the word of God, amen? And we love people. I think that's why people stick around here is because they love the word, and they know that we love people. So we meet people with grace and truth and mercy. Did you notice truth was in the middle of that, amen? We need grace. We need churches that love Jesus, love his word, and are gracious. But I just feel like Jesus is in the middle of all this, and there's this challenge, right? And in all of us, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? I think some of us, I see you shaking your heads like, who is Jesus? Yeah, people need to know. I need to know. And that seemed to be a constant question long before Palm Sunday. I just want to share a few scriptures. Matthew 8:27. The disciples were amazed, and then they asked the question, who is this man? Isn't it interesting? Even the disciples were asking the question, who is this man? Let me just say this. I don't think it's offensive to God for you to ask the question, who you are, God. Who are you, Jesus? I think Jesus wants us to consistently ask that question so he can reveal himself to us through his word and through the life of being in relationship with him. Amen. I think if you go to a church where like you just everything's shoved down and there's not time to grow and to experience relationship with him is not helpful. And so even the disciples, they said, they asked, even the winds and the waves obey them. I think there's some marveling here in that question too. How many of you have ever had the question of marveling? Just, God, that is amazing. You know he answers prayer, but then you're like, how did you do that? How many of you have ever had that moment? You're like, that's amazing, right? And so then we see in Luke 7:48, then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. The men at the table said among themselves, who is this man that he goes around forgiving sins? How many of the people are asking the question, who is Jesus? Many of you may be in a season of asking, who is Jesus? I pray that if you're if you've been a believer for a long time, that your inquisitiveness is really about just growing in deeper relationship with him, and that those who are newer to the faith or yet to the faith, you're kind of like, can I trust him? And so I want to encourage you in that journey. Luke 9:7-9 says, when Herod Antipas, the ruler of Galilee, heard about everything Jesus was doing, he was puzzled. Some were saying that John the Baptist had been raised from the dead. Others thought Jesus was Elijah or one of the other prophets risen from the dead. I beheaded John, Herod said. So who is this man? How many think that people are asking the question and that the question is still being asked today? Who is this person you call Jesus? And they kept trying to see them. Now, how many know that it matters what you believe about Jesus? How many of you discovered that in Acts, the story in Acts 19 was a very good illustration of us needing to know who Jesus is? There's a real power. There's a real authority that is there with Jesus, and we need to have relationship with him. Today, of course, is Palm Sunday, and Jesus is here, and he may be asking, I believe he's still asking the question of us also, who do you think that I am? We want to know who he is, but I think Jesus wants us to ask, and he's asking us, who do you believe? It's important that you know Jesus is coming to us today, that he's present by the power of his Holy Spirit, and that there's an encounter happening even now with your spirit where he is asking. I'm just saying this in the spirit. I really believe the Holy Spirit's here. Remember, we are flesh. Come on, isn't that true? Man has a body, we have a spirit and a soul, mind, will, and emotions. Okay, man is spirit who has a soul and lives in a body. I want to say that accurately. Man is spirit who has a soul and lives in a body. The Holy Spirit is here present today. And I'm just asking, Father, begin to stir by your spirit everyone in this place to ask the question, who is Jesus? And then the Holy Spirit to begin to encourage answers related to that question. Let's just turn to the scripture where I believe it's clear that Jesus wants us to know who he is. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist. Does this sound familiar? Some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. Verse 15, then he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being." Let me just say it this way. I could preach to you my whole life, but until you are asked the question by Jesus and you begin to be inspired by the Holy Spirit to say this is who he is, ain't no matter preaching, no matter how many times you've gone to church, you have to get it into your own spirit of who he is. You're not going to go to heaven because of my faith. You're not going to do powerful things because of my name. Well, I'm going to say in the name of Pastor Michael, this thing's going to happen. Watch out. You may get your clothes ripped off you. Amen? I've shared this story just a few people this week. They're like, that's a story really in the Bible? I'm like, yes, and it's awesome. Because it's funny, sad funny, but it's funny. Unless you were them. Right? Because that's like the greatest disgrace that a Jewish person can endure is the shame of nakedness. But I don't want to be in the devil's playground. I want to operate with the power that Paul had, that even handkerchiefs, come on, that's crazy. Like, you touch something and then it touches them. Even maybe your shadow was healing people. That's what the kind of crazy things were happening. And I believe that Jesus is still able to do amazing things today. Amen. I think this side needs to have some greater faith because I didn't hear any amens over here. How many of you think Jesus is still able to do great things today? Amen. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Who do you say Jesus is?